Oh, man, so good. How about our worship team? Can we say thank you? Man, they rocked out. Wow. They will be back in just a little bit, man. Come on. Oh, man. Come on, welcome. What a time of celebration and what a time of honoring our God and our King and our Lord and our Master, Jesus Christ. And that's our goal, man. He is the center of attention in this place, and he deserves to be honored and lifted up and exalted for who he is and what he's done. And just, I want to get into this, man. We're so pumped about this morning. Let's pray. You can turn to Luke 1, and we're going to dive into this thing, and we're going to preach. And I hope that you have a heart that is hungry to hear what God has for us this morning. We come in and we worship him because we believe that he is the one true living God, almighty in all his ways, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And this is a story this morning. It's a crazy story. It's a true story. Isn't it amazing? We get in the Bible and you see these crazy stories. But they're absolutely, completely, totally true. But when you break them down and you look at them and you see what's really happening, they're crazy. Like, what is going on right now? And then you park the car and you come to a place to land the plane in the absolute truth that there is nothing impossible for God. He is a God who can do anything that he chooses to do because he's all powerful. And we see that this morning. So let's just pray. Ask God to move in our hearts today. Father, we just thank you. Your word is alive and powerful. Speak to us this morning, God. Speak to us this morning, on this morning, this day, that this church, this community, God, we celebrate Jesus today, and we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate you and your coming to earth. We celebrate you putting on flesh. We celebrate you in the manger today. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for coming. We thank you, Jesus, for such an amazing, amazing Savior you are. We thank you that you are great, and we love you, and we celebrate you, and we honor you in this place this morning. Father, speak to us today. Speak to us today by your word and through your spirit in this moment right here, Father. Come on, if you're in this place, ask God in your heart, man, God, speak to me today in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Hey, I got to give you the pregame before I get into this. We're going to start a little bit here in Luke 1, but this is the pregame, man. You got to know that there's a miracle before the miracle. We know the virgin birth and that amazing story. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But then you have the miracle before the miracle. It's the setup to the Savior. Right? Have you ever gone to a place where you love maybe boxing and you get like the pay-per-view and you buy the main event and then all of these other boxing matches are before the main event, but the main event is what you really paid for, right? And you're watching and you're going, oh, that was a good boxing match, and then, oh man, that one was a little better, and then that one was a little better. But the whole idea of the main event, right, is to watch Tyson bite off the ear. I mean, that's what we pay for in boxing, right? That's what it is. That's the big idea. That's what you pay for, right? But there's a lot of setup to that event. And when you read this amazing story and you understand how great is our God? I mean, really, how big is our God? There was a 400-year period from Malachi to Matthew, or to Mark, Luke, and John, to the Gospels, to when Jesus came. There was a 400-year period until we see this amazing break. It's the Old Testament, it's the New Testament, and there's the in-between. And the in-between is 400 years where God, there isn't anything that we read or see where God's moving in those 400 years. And then all of a sudden, you come to say, like how big is our God? How great is our God that in a very short time there's these two amazing, incredible, impossible events that take place. And the pregame to the big event is Zacharias and Elizabeth. This is the pregame. The main event is Jesus coming. But God gives us a preview of a pregame. We have this priest who's Zacharias, and you read this in Luke 1, and he's doing his priestly duties, and he's married to Elizabeth, and they're older in age, and they're barren, they don't have children, which we know that the Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were righteous and they were blameless, both blameless in the sight of God. So they knew God. They had a reverence of God. Man, he was one who knew the Old Testament as a priest. He was an expert in Old Testament. He did his priestly duties. But him and his wife, they just lived their life, but they lived it in being right with God, and they lived it blameless, without shame. They lived it right and understanding what it means to be right according to what God says is right, and they lived in that righteousness. But yet, God closed the womb. They were without child. You got to understand something. In this day, if you were without child, that people would look at you as not being blessed. Because they knew, even scripture tells us, children are a blessing of the Lord. We understand that they are a gift from God. We get that they are a blessing. And we who have kids, we are blessed most of the time. We are pumped most of the time. But you know, when you really understand Old Testament, if you didn't have a child in the Old Testament, people would look at you like you were not blessed. You were actually cursed. There was sin in the house. What's wrong with you because you are not having a child? But that was not their case. They were right with God. And then all of a sudden, he's just doing his thing. And the Bible says the angel Gabriel shows up in the temple when he's behind the curtain and he's doing his priestly duties. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up to Zacharias and he says, listen, this is the deal, Zacharias. You're going to have a child. This child is going to bring you great joy and there's going to be a lot of gladness in your house. And your wife, Elizabeth, like she's going to give birth to a child. And in this child, watch this. You got to understand this, Zechariah. This is a big deal because in this child, his name is going to be John, and he's going to be the forerunner to Christ. He's going to be the one that comes before the Messiah. So here you've got Zacharias, and he's just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, listen, 400 years, we see no activity, and all of a sudden, Gabriel. Listen, Gabriel's a big deal. You've got, in the New Testament, you have two angels that are named, Michael and Gabriel. We do see a Lucifer in the Old Testament. He's bad guy, right? So we come to this place to look at Gabriel and Michael. Michael was the warrior angel. He's the one who goes and fights battle. Gabriel, man, he was the announcement angel. We see him in Daniel. We see him here in Luke to Zacharias, and we see him come to Mary. Now listen, Gabriel is about 4,000 years old. He was made in creation. Gabriel's a big deal. Gabriel has seen so many amazing things that God has done. And Gabriel shows up before Zacharias and said, listen, God's going to do something miraculous. And your wife, Elizabeth, she's going to give birth. And not just to a normal son, but she's going to give birth to the forerunner of Christ. This was the first announcement. The first announcement that God was on his way. And it's made actually to Zacharias. You're telling me that if we're giving birth to the forerunner, you know what that means? That means that the Messiah is coming. So I just want to read this. And he says this. Zechariah says to the angel, well, how will I know this for certain? I mean, he's got to be blown away. How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Now listen, if you got the NIV or you got the New Living, right? The Bible says that she is very old. Don't say that, man. That's a bad idea. Don't call your wife very old. There's old, and then there's very old, right? And here Zacharias is going, listen, we're advanced in years. Like New American Standard says it that way, but other versions say, and she's very old. Like, that's a bad idea. Don't go home with, hey, angel showed up and I told him that you're very old. Like don't do that, right? So here the angel, now he comes to a place, say, listen, I am the angel Gabriel. He gets serious about this. Why are you doubting this? Listen, you're a priest. You're an expert in Old Testament. You should have been looking for the forerunner of Christ. You should have known this. Listen, I stand in the presence of God, and God sent me here to you to say, listen, you're the ones chosen. Your wife is going to get pregnant, and you are going to give birth to the forerunner of Christ. That means God is on his way. And the angel does something amazing. Maybe it's because he called his wife very old, or we believe it's because of his doubt, but he makes him mute. You're not going to be able to speak until the birth of this child. So you look at this, and I laugh. I see this stuff. And I laugh because he can't talk. What did that look like when he went home to Elizabeth? Like, angel, like, was it charades? Was it Pictionary, right? Angel showed up and I don't know how big you want to make a pregnant woman before there's an insult, right? And just like, the angel told us we're going to have sex, honey. This is great. Woo! Like, you know, and Elizabeth would be looking at him going, what are you smoking? This incense isn't Viagra. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we're beyond those years. Things aren't working. Come on, Zacharias. This isn't the way this works. What are you talking about? Like, seriously, he went home, had a conversation. He couldn't talk. Like, what pictures does that look like when he's trying to explain? An angel showed up and said, we're going to make love, and then we're going to have a baby, and it's going to be the forerunner of Christ. But this is, watch this now. This is a miracle that sets up the miracle. It's a miracle that Gabriel tells to Mary to build her faith. See, isn't it interesting that there's times that you go through struggles, but you can see your brothers and sisters in Christ when they're walking through a struggle, but they seem to have this strength in the struggle. They seem to have this hope, this supernatural hope of an outlook when there isn't look like there's any good outtake of this. There's no good. What happens when you really understand, I can draw from the strength of my brother and sister. I can draw from the hope of my brother and sister. I can draw from the joy of my brother and sister. I've seen them battle and I've seen them go through it. And I've seen that somehow, some way, they've had strength in the struggle, and I can gain from that. Listen, this pregame, this miracle before the miracle, listen, you got to understand, these are two huge, amazing, impossible events that take place within just a short period of time, over a 400 loss of 400 years. And here God shows up through Gabriel to encourage, watch this now, Mary to say, listen, well, this miracle happened, so you got to believe nothing's impossible for God. See what happens when you really see a God who is all powerful, and you begin to see God in this amazing, crazy story that begins to unfold of how great our God is. Come on, look at this. Verse 26. Let's read this. Let's read the main event. Let's look at this. Verse 26. I'm just going to read the main event and then we'll get into it. Come on, look at this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, for the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at the statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. I mean, at this point, when you really understand who Mary is, when you understand what's going on in Mary's life, she's maybe 12 to 16 years old. 16 is the high range. When they went to the betrothal and they went to what we would call an engagement, but their betrothal, as we talked about last week, was so much deeper. That started at 12 or 13. Now listen, I don't know about you, but if you're home and you've had a daughter who's 12 or 13, 14, 15 or 16, and you just could imagine, I know this is a different time. This is a whole different people group, right? But 12 is still 12. And this angel shows up and said, oh, by the way, it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. And it's just going to, and at this point, I could see her face look like, what are you talking about? And watch this. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has conceived a son in her old age, she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then here it is. Here's Mary owning her moment. And be it done to me according to your word. Verse 38. And you go back and you break this thing down and you look at this in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy. So she's pregnant for 6 months now. The angel Gabriel, big deal. Gabriel shows up again, was sent from God. Now, could you imagine? God's like, okay, Gabriel, I need you again. You got to go find this girl, Mary, and she's going to be in this place called Nazareth. And again, if you're here last week, we talked a little bit about Nazareth. Today is just going to be brief. Like, you look around this room right here, there's probably about 500 people in this room right now. And you know what? Nazareth's total population was 400 people. Total population. So could you imagine, just in this church, if there was a girl 12 to 16 who got pregnant, could you imagine just in this church what would be said? Could you imagine in a town of at maximum 400 people? Most scholars put it between 200 and 300 at a top number, Right? So even more than people that are sitting in these seats was the whole town of Nazareth. And God is saying, Gabriel, go to that town. There's a girl named Mary. She's going to be the one that you need to make the announcement to. She's going to be the one, man. Come on, knock her off her shoes. This is going to just floor her. This is what's going to happen. And it's in a town filled with less than 400 people. And I love it because here it says that she's engaged or betrothed to a man named Joseph. Last week we talked about Joseph. And we look at this, but I want to bring this out. What's it look like? Seriously, what's it look like when God just interrupts your regular scheduled program? Like, well, what's it look like when you listen, how many times, honestly, that you're in a bad season, man? You're going through a rough deal. You're going through a season. You're going through a circumstance. And in those seasons, man, in that bad season, every one of us, man, we cry out to God, God, you can interrupt anytime. God, you can do a miracle today. God, I need your finances. God, I need your help. God, I need your courage. God, I need your strength. God, and you can go down a list. God, man, you can come any moment. God, this is a tough day for me. This is a tough season for me. It's been a rough year for me. God, I'm asking you to interrupt in this bad season. But the truth is, how many of us come to a place to being in a good season? You've got Mary. You've got Joseph. They've gone through this arranged marriage. They've gone through this place where Joseph was righteous, man. He knew God. He had a reverence for God. He had a fear of God. And he had a job. That's a good thing today. And Mary's like, I got my man. Like, he loves you. And he has his own business. I'm good. Like all the single women should say, are they really man who loves God and has a job? Like, I'm in. Like, score. Sign me up. But you look at Mary, and she's in this season where everything is good. Everything is working. Her life is set. How many of us, when everything is good and we're in a great season, how many of us actually pray, God, I need you to come and interrupt and disrupt the season that I'm in? Probably a few of us. Probably not many. It's in the bad seasons we're begging God to move. But you see, you take this young girl who has her life planned, and all of a sudden, in a moment, God says, I'm going to interrupt your regularly scheduled program, and Mary, I'm about to flip your world upside down. You okay with that? But this is where we're at with this most amazing, incredible miracle. Let's look at this. It says this. Verse 29. Man, she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Like, what was, honestly, what's going through her mind? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Like, I love this because Gabriel has given her a picture here of who this, what this miracle really means and who this really is in her womb. And you come to this place to really ask the question, what did Mary know? What did Mary know as a young girl that was about to take place? What did Mary know about this very one that she would be carrying in her womb? What did Mary know? And there's this Christmas song that is out there called, Mary, Did You Know? Right? And if you like that song, okay, that's all right for you. But, you know, and listen, this is funny because we have a friend in this church and he's amazing. And he makes all of us these CDs with these amazing songs, this upcoming songs we're doing on the worship team. And it's incredible. And then 2 years ago, he puts one together that has right in the middle of this amazing CD, Mary, Did You Know? I'm like, why would you put that right on that? That's I don't know if you like that song or not. I don't. But anyways, because what did Mary know? You know, she didn't know, honestly, she didn't know that Jesus was going to walk on water. You know, she didn't know that Jesus could go up to somebody and touch his eyes so that they may see again. She didn't know that Jesus had the authority and the power to come to a place to say, wind, stop, waves, calm, and just the sea would just come to this place to obey. She didn't know that he had that authority. She didn't know that he'd walk up to the lame man and touch him and heal him, that he would get up and walk again. She didn't know that Jesus could take a boy's lunch and feed 5,000 people. She didn't know. She didn't know that Jesus could stop a funeral of a young boy's life and say, young man, I say to you, arise. And in the middle of this funeral, this boy who was dead sits up in the coffin. She didn't know. But what she did know, that Gabriel said, he's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to be a king. And his kingdom, his reign, will have no end. And then you put Joseph's account. What did Mary know from Joseph? Oh, he's going to save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus, which means God saves. His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Mary, you need to know this, that it's God in the flesh and he's within you and he is going to be great. And then she's going to figure out what that word great. Listen, they could have put, the angel could have said a lot of things. He's going to be majestic and he's going to be splendid and he's going to be holy and he's going to be, but no, he said, listen, he will be great. And then at the end of the day, at the end of Jesus' life, I think Mary would come back to this place to look at what great means. And it's all of Christ's life come to a place to remember the healing and raising the dead, to remember the feeding of 5,000, to remember the story about stopping the sea, to remember in his whole life. His whole life would be defined as great. And then the shepherds come, as we talked 2 weeks ago, and say, Mary, this is what happened. This was crazy, Dad. These angels came, and then this whole host, this whole army of angels came, and they were singing, and they told us that he is the Savior, and he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Mary, do you know that? Do you get it? This is who he is, Mary. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. And then after Jesus is born, she finds something else out that she knows. She goes on the 40th day to dedicate Jesus in the temple. And there's a priest, Simeon, who's in the temple. And he comes to a place with Joseph and Mary and say, listen, you got to know this. That your son, he's here for the rise and the fall of many. And Mary, he will be oppressed. Mary, he's going to be put out. Mary, he's going to be pushed around. Mary, he's going to go through it. And then he says, Mary, it's going to be painful for you. Because it's going to be as if your very own soul is pierced through. I mean, you come to this amazing, incredible story. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary, what did you know? What happens when God just comes in and interrupts your regular scheduled program? What happens, honestly, when things are really going well and your life is set? All of a sudden, in a 9-month period, you realize this is going to hurt. This isn't what I asked for. I was good. But we see in Mary, in this moment right here when Gabriel is still present, and I love this conversation of going back and forth with Mary and Gabriel and Mary and Gabriel, and she's like, I love where she lands in this. She's like, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. Oh, Mary, that's easy. Like, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And then at this point, I love it because the angel, at this point right here, all that he's just dropped on Mary, all of what's taking place in Murray's heart. The angel has to bring something to boost her faith. I believe this. Look at what he mentions here. Because she doesn't respond to this as, I'm in. Hey, this is great. Wow. That's not the response yet. I imagine she's a bit overwhelmed. I'm imagining that her face to Gabriel is like, what is happening? And this is great, because he says this. And behold, here it means that this is an announcement. This is a statement. And I can imagine, Mary, look right here. You got to hear this, Mary. You got to get this. Mary, eye contact. I know this is a crazy story, but I need to watch. Behold, it's an attention getter. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has conceived a son in her old age, she who was called barren. Remember, and she knows her. Remember, your relative, she can't have children. She's beyond those years. Things aren't working right. You know who I'm talking about, right? Well, guess what? She's pregnant. Matter of fact, she's in her sixth month. Then the angel says this, for nothing will be impossible with God. I love this. Coming from Gabriel. Come on, Gabriel's 4,000 years old. What all has Gabriel seen in 4,000 years? You could imagine Gabriel sees this. He sees the Old Testament. He sees the Red Sea splitting. He sees all of these miracles that are taking place. And he can come to a place to rest himself, to assure her, listen, this is the deal. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible for God. Mary, nothing's hard for God. God's got this, Mary. Did a miracle for Elizabeth. And nothing's impossible for him. I can imagine, after all that Gabriel has seen for 4,000 years, I imagine he says this with such confidence in his voice that she gives us this amazing statement to see something so marvelous in this young girl. Whatever her age is, 12 to 16. 12 is 12. I love this. And Mary said, behold. I love her announcement back, right? I love her announcement here. Gabriel announced to her, behold, Mary, get attention. And she's like, behold, Gabriel, look at me. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And we see where she runs off to Elizabeth's house, and then we see this amazing picture of what we're here for. In Luke 2, we see where Joseph goes to Bethlehem. And we see verse 6 says this, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for him at the inn. And then as we talked 2 weeks ago, we see this celebration begin to take place on a hill because Jesus has come. And church, this is the deal, man. We're here today to celebrate that our Savior. It's amazing because we know the miracles. We have them all written down. We see what he was capable of. We see his power. We see his authority. We see where he speaks to demonic activity and it has to flee. We see where he speaks to the sea and they obey. We see where he speaks to blind men and they're healed. We see where he speaks to the paralyzed and they walk. We know that he's great. Today we celebrate that our Savior has come, and we celebrate in a sense of really coming to a place to park that there's nothing impossible with our God. And when you come to a place to believe, God, you've set up You set up the Savior, and you set up the birth by a miracle after a miracle. And we come to a place, and I know, man, we are here to celebrate. We're here to see this amazing story unfold of how great is our God. That we could come to a place to know. If you could just bow your heads just for a minute. That Jesus Christ came truly in a barn. The feeding trough for animals. The Bible says that Mary is just pondering all these things, man. She's really coming to this place to realize, man, this is the child. This is the one. This is the one who is the Savior of the world, and He will save people from their sins. I'm gonna ask you a simple question this morning, and then we're gonna light our candles, and we're gonna sing a final song, and we're going to go, but can I ask you this? Who is Jesus to you? As Mary had to come to a place, she knew that he was the Son of God. She knew that he was going to be the Savior of the world. She knew that it was going to be painful. She knew. But who is Jesus to you? What do you know about Christ? Do you come to a place this morning to know that God loves you and God sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for you? That we may know him, Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Lord, the only way to eternal life. That Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And do you know Christ as Lord and Savior this morning? If you're in this place and you do, man, you know what it is to be saved. You know what it is to understand the great grace, the amazing grace that God has for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. No one can brag about being saved by themselves. It's only through the grace of God. But it's up to you and me to have faith to believe. I'm so pumped you're here this morning. And I want you to hear the good news. Jesus came, and he came for you, and it's great news. To put himself on a cross so that we may know him. Not just a storybook, not just this baby in a manger, but we would know him as the risen Savior of the world who sits at the right hand of the Father today, that you may know him. And you come to this place to turn from sin, to repent from sin, come to a place to believe in Jesus that he's the only way, and to confess that he is Lord of your life and come to this place to surrender. Man, if I could have the ushers just light these candles and just... Church, I want to just... sing this song. It's a great Christmas song. And I want you to come to a place to really understand what it is that we light candles really as a symbol that Jesus is the light of the world. He came as the light of the world. And you come to a place that we're just going to sing this morning. We're going to close out our Christmas service this morning and really understand, man, as we light these candles, we look to understand Jesus is the light of the world and he came. And he came as light to conquer darkness. And I love this idea, man. It's going to be a dark room except for our candles. And you're going to see light penetrates darkness. And Jesus came, put himself in a feeding trough to put himself on a cross as the light of the world to penetrate and pierce through darkness so that you and I would come to a place to know him as Lord and Savior. Just give a couple minutes to light our candles. And then we're going to stand to our feet. Then we're going to sing. We're going to have a great time with our candles. Amen.